I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. And we've moved next door from our usual home, Studio 4B, to our performance studio 4A to accommodate an audience and the man they came to see, Kem. He was raised and still lives in Detroit. He's known some downtimes, including drug rehab and shelters. Fortunately, one of them had a piano. He sang, he did weddings, waited tables, and eventually cut his first CD in 2002, Chemistry. Album 2 was titled, well, Album 2, and featured this single.
Somebody tell me why I feel like I'm blind. Lord, what's come over me? Ooh, baby, can't you see that I can't stop loving you? I can't stop loving you.
That was I Can't Stop Loving You from Album 2. That was 5 years ago. But now there's Album 3. It's just out, titled Intimacy. Kem Owens, known to your fans simply as Kem, is here with us now. Welcome to the intimate confines of Tell Me More. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we've missed you.
I've missed you, too.
Where you been?
I've been working. I've been getting y'all's record done, you understand? Our last release, as you mentioned, was in 2005. And, you know, we took a break, you know, between the first album and the second album. I had songs already cultivated for my second record. And then there was the whirlwind of being on tour and performing through the second album cycle. You know, we took a break and worked hard, but y'all's record is finally done.
Well, we're thankful. We're thankful.
Yeah.
Well, what's your process? Do you need quiet? Do you need a place to think your thoughts that's just you? Do you work with other people? How do you do that?
Well, the songwriting process is very intimate for me. I usually pen everything because I've learned that publishing is the gift that keeps on giving. But this album I shared some with Jill Scott, who makes a cameo appearance on the record. And I shared production with a producer out of Los Angeles, Rex Rideout. The whole concept of this album came about because I came to a place in my life where, you know, Mr. Love Calls thought he knew everything that there was to know about being in relationship, being out of relationship. And I really realized that I had only been scratching the surface. And it is difficult, you know, to be vulnerable, to share really. You know, I'm quick to give you material things, to share my money, to, you know, and there's a place for that, and there are times when that's appropriate, but
we appreciate that, yeah.
But
the sharing,
yeah.
The material things part.
You know, but there's also a place for, you know, for making room for other people in my life and for spending my time, which is my most valuable asset. And so I really began to really discover that and to learn what that was for myself.
Now, do you want to play something first from the new album first, or do you want to go back and play something from Chemistry?
I want to go back and warm up into
that. Okay. And will you introduce the other fellows who were with you?
Oh, these are my cats, my Detroit musicians, right? I like to call them the baddest band in America, right? Racy Biggs on trumpet, Daryl Wakefield on saxophone, Brian Bean O'Neill on keyboard, Quentin Sugar Bear Baxter on guitar, Al Turner on bass, and Ron Otis on drums, and Wild Bill Curry on percussion.
All right.
And give it up for the band, y'all.
And what are we going to hear? We're going to hear something from Chemistry. What are we going to hear?
Matter of Time.
A Matter of Time. Here it is.
He spent his whole life
from bad to good, then so can I. It's a matter of time. Take us downtown to the mission over on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Some people call it Myrtle, but I like to call it Mac and Third. Those were the strangest sounds. Hey, girl, we'd ever heard. Say that bad things, they happen, but it's all divine. Hey, girl, so don't let this crazy, cruel world, baby, don't let it make you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More, our special guest in our performance studio today, singer Kem. You know, when people write about you, they write about the silkiness of your sound. Oftentimes people talk about the kind of the spoken word quality of the lyrics as a story in them. They don't often talk anymore about the hard times you had before you got to the level where you are.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are having hard times right now. I think it might be helpful to people to know how you got to that place and how you got out.
You know, my dark night of the soul is something that I talk about from the stage, you know, and specifically for the purpose that you just indicated. You know, my music is not only a means of provision in my life or a means of entertainment. It's really a testimony. You know, it's a testimony. My faith is my foundation, and I've been given so much and brought through so much that it is important for me to talk about what I've been through so that if somebody else is going through it, they can be encouraged through the music to get through whatever it is that they're going through. So I'm a recovering alcoholic drug addict. July 23rd, I celebrated 20 years of sobriety, and, you know, and I don't regret a day. I grew up, both my parents went to Tennessee State, educated, two cars, you know, the whole nine yards. I had younger sisters. I had the opportunity to go to college and to do all of those things that we dream for our children. And I didn't take advantage of those things. There was abuse in my childhood, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, childhood depression, anxiety, all of these things. And, you know, at that time, you know, who knew? You know, we just kind of, you know, we just fended for ourselves. You know, there weren't these labels and these medications and these therapies and all of these things. And And, you know, every family has its own dysfunction. So, you know, communication about what I was going through as a kid was never really conveyed, you know, to those who really cared about me and who loved me. And so it was no fault of their own. My parents did the best that they could. And could they have done better? They would have. So drugs and alcohol became my best friend. But that path led me to being homeless in Detroit. It led me to not being welcome into my mother's home. And I hit my bottom, you know, and bottom for me was sleeping outside on the Detroit River, trying to nurse a can of King Cobra malt liquor, a tall can, understand, it was a tall can. Trying to nurse it till the next morning so that I could get back into this treatment facility. And it was my birthday, you know, the next day would be my birthday. July 23rd is not only my anniversary date, it's my chronological, my biological birthday, and, you know, which is in divine order, you know, because it was definitely a rebirth. And the next day I went into this treatment facility and I made room for something else to happen.
Well, thank you for that. We really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you for that. We'd love to hear something from the new album, and yeah, we want to talk a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. And what are you going to play?
Share My Life. Okay. Share My Life is going to be the second single off of the Intimacy album.
Makes any difference. Still love you, girl. You're my weakness. You changed my world. Share my life. Trust in me. All I want, everything I need, ooh baby, it makes any difference. I give you all my heart, you're my sunset. Where you are. Maybe I'm a dreamer. You're still my queen. Your love's like a river, girl. It's running right through. Trust in me. You can trust in me, girl. You can trust in me, girl. You're all I want, baby, baby. Everything I need.
Share My Life.
I've been thinking about this since I've been listening to this album in preparation for our conversation, and I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, men have been singing love songs since, you know, forever. I mean, we wouldn't have country western if, you know, they didn't. Right. And we have, you know, R&B, whatever that term means. And yet, do you still have the sense that real intimacy is something that is denied men? Do you have a sense that men are still not supposed to try to aspire to a truly intimate place? Do you ever feel that way? I mean, we hear a lot about sex, But
sex sells. Mm-hmm. You know, sex sells. And you know, we talk about those things and we blame it on the music industry, but you know, people buy it. If people weren't buying it, then you know, then it wouldn't be selling. I think that as men one of the purposes I hope my music serves is saying the things that men either can't say, don't know how to say, or aren't willing to say. Communicating those things, and those are also the things that women need to hear. You know, we haven't been groomed to do those things. We haven't been groomed to communicate those things, you know, but I think that there's room for men to grow in the area of intimacy, particularly, you know, present company, myself being, you know, I you know, right, because, you know, really, that's all that it's about. Life is about relationship, you know, really, at the end of the day.
Kim, his new album, Intimacy, is in stores now, and he joined us with all the fellas. Thank you all for coming in our studios in Washington, D.C. I think you have one more for us that you want to play before we let you go. What's that going to be?
Find Your Way has been good to me.
Okay. So we are going to go out on Find Your Way. It's from the second album.
It's from the second album.
Called Album 2.
Yes, ma'am.
To watch a web-exclusive video of Kim's NPR performance and hear full songs, check out our music website. Go to npr.org and click on Music.
Said I'm leaving. Have I made myself clear? Every time I find someone, I find myself here. No more screaming. There'll be no more lies. Packed up all my things to go. Even made my flight. So how did you find your way back in my life?
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.
I can't tell it how we make this thing fly. I really thought we were.